Well, our sermon text for this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. Here we go. We're going to begin in verse 22 and read on through 40. So if you're able, please stand again for the hearing of God's holy word. And we read it in Jesus' name. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Holy Spirit, he went into the temple courts when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required. Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled about what was said to him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Penuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple but worshiped day and night, fasting and praying, coming up to them at that very moment. She gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own town of Nazareth, and the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Lord God, your word is truth. Today, by your word, I ask that you would show us our sin and need for a Savior. Lord, show us the finished work of Christ. Point us to Jesus for us and everything that he accomplished, that we might be redeemed and have eternal life with you. God, by your word, strengthen our faith and equip us for your service, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. This passage about the presentation of Jesus at the temple is a story that actually began some 1,400 years before Christ was even born. It's a story that takes place in the book of Exodus. You'll likely recall that God sent 10 plagues on the land of Egypt so that Pharaoh would let his people go free. There was no plague among the 10 that was more terrible than the final plague, the death of the firstborn sons of Egypt. You see, God spared the people of Israel from this final plague so long as they believed in his word and did what he had said. As long as they took the blood of the lamb and put it on their doorposts and on their lintel. As long as they trusted in that word of the Lord, then the angel of the Lord would pass over their homes and he would spare their firstborn male children. It wasn't because the people of Israel were somehow holier or better or even more deserving. They were spared because they trusted the word and promise of the Lord. After Pharaoh let the descendants of Abraham go, God gave them a command, which is recorded in Exodus chapter 13. You see, God wanted the people of Israel to always remember everything he had done to get them free from their hard slavery in Egypt. So every year, they would celebrate the Passover feast. But they were also supposed to do something different. They had to take the firstborn male of child or of man and of beast and consecrate it to the Lord. The animals, they needed to be sacrificed if it was a firstborn male, but the children of Israel, they needed to be redeemed. They had to be bought back. Both the Passover feast and this redeeming were to be a reminder to the people of Israel from generation to generation of everything God did to get them out of the land of Egypt and bring them to the land of promise. God used these events of the Passover to set his people free from their slavery in Egypt and bring them to the promised land, but the Passover was about a lot more than that. The whole Passover event was really a shadow cast by a substance that would come later. It was a picture that pointed ahead to God's promised Messiah and everything that he needed to do to redeem mankind. Think about the Passover just a little bit. There was a lamb that was taken. Not just any lamb, it had to be a lamb without spot and without blemish. This lamb was sacrificed. It was that spotless and blemished lamb that was sacrificed, whose blood was put on the doorposts and on the lintel of the house. The house was filled with sinners, with people that had broken God's law. And we know from Scripture that the wages of our sin is nothing short of death and damnation. It's eternal separation from God in hell. And yet, in that Passover event, as the angel of the Lord came to those houses, he passed over them, and they were spared. They were guilty and deserved nothing, and yet God spared them. This was a picture of what Jesus would come to do. See, he is the Lamb of God, perfect, without spot and without blemish, without even the smallest stain of sin. He lived the perfect, sinless life that we could not live. He died the death that our sins had earned for us. He paid the price for our sin. And by grace and through faith, everything that Jesus accomplished is delivered to us, and we are washed clean by his blood, the blood of the perfect Lamb of God. You see, we deserve nothing short of death and hell, but because of the blood of that perfect lamb, we're granted forgiveness. We have a restored relationship with our God, and we are promised eternal life with him. So that Passover, it pointed to Jesus. It pointed to everything he needed to do to save mankind. And that yearly celebration of the Passover and the redeeming of the firstborn sons and the sacrifice of the firstborn male animals, these were proclamations, not just of what God had done to set his people free, but what God would do to set his people free from their sins. Now, as faithful believers, Mary and Joseph obviously would have obeyed the law of God concerning the redemption of their firstborn and the purification of Mary as well after giving birth. And that's what we find them doing here in Luke chapter 2. They were obeying the law of God. A law that was given to remind people of the Passover. Ultimately, a law that pointed ahead to the promise of the Messiah and everything he would do. As Mary and Joseph brought Jesus to be redeemed, they were fulfilling the law of God, but in their arms, in their hands, they carried the true and complete fulfillment of that law. They brought Jesus to fulfill a law that was a shadow cast by Jesus himself. The shadow and the substance of God's promise were there in the same moment. As they went to do this, they encountered two people that I've heard called the most famous nobodies in the world. We know very little about Simeon and Anna. We have this woman, Anna. We know she was a prophet. But everything we know about her is right here in Luke 2. She was a prophet. She was 84 years old. She was a widow that was only married for a short time. And she was a devout believer. Our text said she didn't ever leave the temple. She was always there worshiping and fasting and praying day and night. We also know that she was someone who waited for the Messiah, for the redemption of Jerusalem. And when Anna saw this child, that fulfillment of all of these laws about the Passover, she gave thanks to God, and then she went tearing out of the temple, sharing the promised Messiah with anyone who would listen. The other person we found was a man by the name of Simeon. It's like Anna, Simeon wasn't anything special. He wasn't a king or a nobleman. He wasn't a ruler or a priest. He was just a normal guy. Just like Anna, the only things we know about Simeon come from our passage in Luke. We know he was a man who was righteous and devout. He was a man that believed in God and trusted in his promises and tried to live his life according to God's law. Luke also tells us that he awaited the consolation of Israel, which meant he was looking for the promised Messiah. Luke also tells us that Simeon had one special thing going on. He had been given a special promise by God. He knew that he was going to get to see God's promised Messiah before he died. And this day at the temple was the day that God made good on his promise. Now, we don't know if Simeon waited a couple of days or a couple of hours or years and years for this fulfillment. But what we do know is that in that moment, God displayed his faithfulness to Simeon and fulfilled everything he said he was going to do. God had promised the Messiah right at the beginning of the world, right after sin came in Genesis 3. He had promised the Messiah to the patriarchs. And then he had given that promise to an unknown man by the name of Simeon. God told Simeon, the Messiah wasn't just coming, but you get to see him. And now there the Messiah was. And amazingly, Simeon didn't just get to see his salvation, he held his salvation in his very hands. As he held the Christ child, Simeon said something that's become a part of worship in many churches throughout the years, something that we call the Nunc Dimittis, which is just a fancy Latin way of saying the first few words of what Simeon had to say. It means, now you dismiss. Simeon said, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and glory to your people, Israel." At the sight of Jesus, Simeon could now die in peace because God had fulfilled everything he had promised. God was faithful. Simeon saw and held in his hands his salvation, and now he could die in peace. This wasn't the only time that the fulfilling of Passover laws played a very significant role in the life of Jesus. He fulfilled the Passover laws as a child, as his parents brought him to be redeemed. And then again, right before his crucifixion and death, we find him fulfilling the Passover laws again. You see, our account of the Last Supper was Jesus and his disciples fulfilling the Old Testament law concerning the Passover feast. And at that Last Supper, he instituted a new covenant. Hear these words from Luke 22. He said to them, "I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer, for I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, "Take this and divide it amongst yourselves. For I tell you that from now on I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And likewise the cup, after they had eaten, saying, "This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood." At the Last Supper, Jesus instituted Holy Communion. He said, "Take and eat. This is my body." And he said, "This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood." This was the fulfillment of all the Old Testament Passover laws. You see, the Passover pointed ahead to the Lamb of God who would take away the sin of the world, to the Lamb whose blood would be shed so that we all might be redeemed. This Last Supper with Jesus and his disciples, it would be the last time the Passover would ever need to be celebrated because its fulfillment had come. And Jesus was about to give up his life as that perfect Lamb of God so that we might be redeemed. When Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, he gave us a meal that is better than the Passover because we're no longer waiting for the Messiah to come. At the Lord's Supper, Jesus comes to you, and he gives to you his holy body and blood for the forgiveness of all of your sins. At the supper, we get to have the same exact experience as Simeon and Anna. We get to behold our Savior given to us and hold him in our very hands and receive forgiveness. And our response should be like that of Simeon and Anna as well. Because of what we're given at the table, because of what we're given in holy baptism, and because of what we're given through the Word of God, we, like Simeon, can depart this world in peace, knowing that all of us who have faith in Christ are forgiven, our sins are washed clean, and we have the promise of eternity in paradise with our God. Simeon's song should be a song that's on all of our lips constantly. And just like Anna, we should also respond by sharing this good news with anyone who will hear it. Because we are sinners that needed the grace of God and found it. Now we know where it is. We can point other sinners to it. That final plague of Egypt, the Passover feast celebrated for so many years, the presentation of the firstborn, these things were all shadows cast by the true substance of Christ. He was the fulfillment of everything that they promised, and Jesus paid it all on the cross. Now he freely gives everything he accomplished in word and in sacrament. So hear one more time Jesus' promise to redeem, his promise to forgive, his promise to restore, and his promise to grant eternal life. Hear his promise and believe in it. Rest in that promise. Stake your very life on his promise, because his promises never fail. And leave here living your life in light of that promise. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for everything that the Passover pointed to. We thank you for the fulfillment that came in Christ. Lord, now we thank you for the Lord's Supper, where we are given the body and blood of our Lord for the forgiveness of our sins. Lord, use these things, word and sacrament, to strengthen our faith and make us your servants. God, use us as we go out today. We pray this in your holy name. Amen.